Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are pleased to be joined by ESPN draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr. He's covered the NFL draft for ESPN since 1984. He's done it so long. He's done it before I got drafted. Mel Kiper Jr., the veteran of all NFL veterans when it comes to the NFL draft. Mel, Steve Tasker and my son Luke Tasker of the CFL here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Steve, Luke, great to be with you guys. Steve, I had some great years watching you guys up in Buffalo. It was phenomenal. It's great to see Josh Allen-led Bills have a lot of energy going into this season.
Yeah, it is, and thank you. And you're right. It's the runs are always good. The 35-year run you've had with ESPN, my little run here in Buffalo, they're fun while they last, are they not?
Yes, Mel? They are. No doubt about that.
Hey, you came out with a 3-round draft. And you had the perfect pick for all the teams in Buffalo, and you had Buffalo taking the big tight end out of Iowa. You're not alone in that. A lot of people see the Bills as needing a tight end. What leads you to that conclusion that T.J. Hockenson's going to be the Bills' guy at number 9?
Well, then, you know, Todd and I kind of go back and forth. Todd was thinking Hockenson, and we looked at Hockenson as a guy. I think you look at Ed Oliver if you want to go defensive line, if he's there. You look at Jonah Williams, the offensive lineman from Alabama, if you want a left tackle, right tackle guard. So I think Jonah would have to be in the discussion. He's a heck of a football player, and obviously you want to go into this draft with the emphasis being on helping Josh Allen. Obviously, don't forget about the defense, because the defense will have to step up even more now that the offense will improve. You know, a lot of the teams went into last year thinking, okay, we don't have to score a lot. We just don't want to turn it over. We can be conservative. And this offense, you know, the line's terrible. They don't have skill guys. Got a rookie quarterback. But as the year went along, you saw Josh Allen, and that offensive line got a little better, and Josh became a really good quarterback, I thought, for a rookie. If you put him with a curve for a rookie, 5-5 they were in the games he started and finished. I think had he not got cheap shotted out of the Houston Texans game, they might have won that game with him. But I think the fact of the matter is the offensive line with Jonah, tight end like Hockenson, there's no wide receiver to consider at that point. They may in the second round be able to get somebody like Debo Samuel, South Carolina, and N'Keal Harry from Arizona State, you know, one of those Ohio State kids, either Campbell or McLaurin. So there's going to be, I think, a lot of options, guys, in the second round for the Buffalo Bills at wide receiver.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. And Mel, I want to ask you this. So you got this T.J. Hockenson, and certainly there are more elite players in this draft. How many guys, like the top two or three or four or five or whatever number you pick, how many of those guys, if any of those elite guys like Quinnen Williams or you know, Nick Bosa even, how many guys are like that? If they trickled down to number 9, you would take them instead of T.J. Hockenson if you're the Buffalo Bills? I mean, there's some elite guys at the top of this draft. How many elite guys are there that if one of them falls to number 9, that they would supersede any need that the Buffalo Bills had?
Yeah, I think Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, and Devin White would be the four best players in this draft. And if for whatever reason, one of those four drop, yeah, then that's happened before. I mean,
right.
What you brought up is a great point, because you go in thinking you have it all mapped out and then somebody will fall, because this is the time of year where I always say just you're going to hear so many things this week about injury, about something medical, something off the field, something this, something that. There are always everybody's trying to throw out some misinformation, or sometimes it is true. You saw what happened with Josh last year with the tweets or the morning of the draft. All these things this time of year, and then it takes one team to take a player, and then like a guy, so somebody could jump up higher in the draft than you expect, because you try to build a consensus, but you can't talk to 32 teams or anywhere close to that, as you guys know. Yeah. So you get a consensus from your 4, 5, 6 teams you talk to, and that's it. So I think you're right. But if one of those four dropped to where the Bills are, I think Brandon Bean would have to reassess things a bit.
Yeah. Mel, we have some questions about a Western New Yorker who's coming out of the draft this year, Jake Dolagala from Central Connecticut. Where does he fall in your analysis? Is he a guy who could slip into the late rounds? What do you take of his college career?
More most likely for, you know, in a seven-round, you know, you talk about an eight-round draft with you know, the compensatory picks, more than likely with the depth of these positions, you're looking at a kid like that as a free agent. Mm-hmm. I don't have enough on him to say for sure, but I would say you look at, and I'm looking down at the board now, and I have some really good, for me, really good players I have undrafted grades on, in terms of undrafted possibility on with a draftable grade. So I'd say if it was a 12-round draft, it opens up more opportunities. As Steve knows, I remember it was a 17-round draft. It's just difficult to project him. And like I said, I can't say I speak with great the evaluation on him as far as where he's going to go, but I would say probably undrafted.
Yeah, and you get these guys – the quarterbacks are always a kind of the wild card, Mel, because they tend to go a little bit higher than most teams or than they're graded. What about this class? You know, the big story is that Kyler Murray is going to go to Arizona. If that happens, where does Dwayne Haskins fall? Where does, the guy from Missouri fall? Where does a Duke quarterback fall? You know, how do they, and plus, you know this, and you can, they're going to go a little higher than you might think.
Yeah, we were trying to work that out today, trying to figure out where some of these guys are the quarterbacks. So I think Haskins goes to Washington. I think the Redskins find a way to get him. If the Giants pass him with six, and all the intel tells you that the Giants may not take him, if that's the case, so the Redskins could definitely be in play, either at 15 if he falls there or trading up from 15. You keep hearing, and I don't know if it's true or not, that the Giants like Daniel Jones from Duke. I even heard Dave Gettleman yesterday talk about, hey, you know, you got to have a quarterback in New York. He's got to be able to deal with a lot of things beyond just being a quarterback with the New York Giants. So maybe he feels like it's played a little more. He's a Duke kid. He's David Cutcliffe factor. Remember, David had Eli and Peyton Manning. So you get that kind of mentality to deal more like Eli did, you know, with David Cutcliffe and Peyton, obviously, and the expectation. Maybe Daniel Jones is that guy. I think when you look at Drew Locke, I don't know. I think the 10 to 15, I would say, if you look at those teams, Denver, if they want to get a guy who could be the heir apparent or challenge Joe Flacco, Cincinnati, same thing there, Miami, so that would be the three possibilities for him, and obviously we have Kyler Murray going number one to the Arizona Cardinals.
Mel, I want to take you back really quick, deep into your archives. So 1984 is your first year where you're beginning your announced business. Well, I wonder, in 1985 draft, there was a small little receiver from Northwestern University. I think he got taken in the 27th round. Is that
the 27th round? Shut
what up. What would your analysis have said of the young Steve Tasker who got drafted by the Houston Oilers?
I'd say this: you want him on your team.
Hindsight's easy.
Exactly. I think there are some, it's funny with you because you always look at players moving for as guys that are Steve Tasker types.
Right.
It's a good thing when you're viewed that, like Danny Amendola types, Wes Welker types. You look at that, and it's always good when you're being viewed, down the road after your career's over, somebody there trying to find the next guy like you because you have those intangibles, and you obviously made it work. You did a great job, and you competed there, and you did a lot of great things for a team that won. So, to me, that speaks volumes. Like, if you can say at the end of your career that you're going to use that player from years gone by as somebody that you're trying to compare players now to, it's pretty good.
Well, I appreciate it, and you're right. I was very lucky, believe me. We're talking with Mel Kiper, Jr., ESPN NFL draft analyst. Mel, I got to ask you, too. You're trying to figure out where these quarterbacks go, and there's one team that I've watched pretty closely. They've got a Hall of Fame quarterback as their president in John Elway in Denver. Now, he went out and he got Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is in his 30s. They got him. They know that he can do that. What are the chances that the Denver Broncos, sitting there not too deep in the draft, they're at number 10, that they pick their quarterback maybe in the future, try and get another one? Because John Elway, if the one thing, he's taken a lot of heat for not getting the quarterback thing right, except for the Peyton Manning thing, which he got exactly right. But he is not afraid to pull the trigger on quarterbacks because he feels it's so important. You got to get that guy, and by hook or crook, does he take a young one and let him develop even at number 10 this year, even with Joe Flacco in the fold?
That's a tough call. That's the million-dollar question. We've been trying to figure that out and trying to get into John Elway's mind about that. This is John Elway who drafted Brock Osweiler, drafted Paxton Lynch, then didn't draft Josh Allen because of probably those, and ends up, making a move to get Case Keenum instead of Josh Allen, thinking we'll go the more of a proven entity. And, and then you think about, where they are right now. I think when you look at where this football team is, I think they could. good. And I think Joe Flacco is a good coordinator. There's no question. I know Joe. He's been here in Baltimore with me, won a Super Bowl.
Right.
And it wasn't just because of the defense or this or that. It was because of Joe Flacco winning those tough games on the road and doing everything he needed to do in that great playoff run that he had. He had other great seasons as well, really good seasons. So Joe's had an issue with durability, obviously, with the back and then last year with the injury. But, I think for John Elway, here he likes Drew Locke. Because, obviously John had the big arm. Drew Locke has the big arm. Drew Locke is a veteran. He played a lot of games at Missouri. He turned a corner in terms of beating teams, top 25 teams, when he went down to Florida and beat the Gators in a dominant way. He had a phenomenal game. I think that game made him a lot of money after a struggling performance the prior week against Kentucky. So I think Drew Locke would be in the discussion heavily. It just depends. Do you want to keep, like Joe Flacco said, I'd like to get some help. Remember, he was here last year when they drafted Lamar Jackson. So they went that same route in Baltimore, and Lamar Jackson stole the show late, and now Joe Flacco is moving on, and now just do they draft Drew Locke? They could. I mean, it's Drew Locke or maybe a Devin Bush, the linebacker Michigan, maybe a defensive lineman. It really gets down to John Elway. Does he want to look at the heir apparent to Flacco or try to help Flacco? Now, if T.J. Hockenson were there, that would make sense for Denver as well. Joe Flacco loves to throw to the tight end. You go back to the Dennis Pitta days. Remember, Baltimore last year in the draft drafted two tight ends early.
Right.
First round, third, and got a lot of production out of Mark Andrews. Hayden Hurst was injured, but most of the year. But the bottom line is that's where his eyes take him. And I think having a receiving tight end is important. So maybe if Hockenson's there, they go that route over the quarterback. But I got to believe everything you hear that Drew Locke would certainly be in the discussion at number 10.
Yeah, there's another quarterback that you seem to like a lot. It's the quarterback Daniel Jones. Tell us a little bit about this prospect.
Yeah, I mean, he's an intriguing guy. I mean, Todd McShay always makes out that I think he's the next, John Elway, Peyton Manning. I don't feel that way. I like him more than Todd does, and I think he can be a good starting quarterback, and I think there's a lot to like about him. Now, is he perfect? Is he the number one pick in the draft or a top 10 pick? No, and not. I think he's more in the mid to late first. I have him right now 23 on the big board, but when you get a kid with his size, his athleticism, he was a basketball kid in high school as well, very athletic family he comes from, smart kid, competitive kid. I love the way he, even against Clemson, when they were beating them at the line of scrimmage with those great defensive linemen, he hung in there. He dominated Temple. He lit up Temple in the bowl game. He had a struggling week at the Senior Bowl, and that's not his forte. You throw quarterbacks in with new entities, and it's just not – sometimes they don't thrive in that environment. He did, but on the game day, he was the MVP. So I think, the thing I don't like, he kind of dips that head in the pocket when he gets pressured. That's something you can't do, and he'll improve, hopefully, in that area. I like his accuracy when he's pressured. I like his compact release. He ran for 186 yards in a game against North Carolina this year. There's a lot to like about Daniel. Is he perfect? And the David Cutcliffe factor will help him. Six quarterbacks under Cutcliffe went into the NFL. Two big names, obviously, Peyton and Eli Manning. But, is he, like I say, he's not a guaranteed big-time starting quarterback, but he has enough going for him that I think a team like the Giants or somebody else will take him in round one and hope that he is a very good starting quarterback.
Did you say you had him going at number 23? That'd be the Texans. You really think that's it?
Oh, no, that's just a big board. That's just a number.
Oh, I got
gotcha.
I got gotcha.
That's just where he's rated. It has nothing to do with a mock draft. He's the 23rd best player on my board right now.
Okay.
21.
That seems very high. That's pretty good. He seems like he's probably pretty good prospect then, if he's that high.
Yeah, McShay's got him like 60th, I think, or 70th.
Okay.
No, Todd's got him a lot lower, and Todd thinks he's just a backup type. Maybe a serviceable starting quarterback. So that, and I'm not speaking for Todd inaccurately. He said that numerous times, that he thinks he's a really good backup, and maybe he could be a starting quarterback. Maybe, but he's more leaning towards backup. So, but if you're taking him in the first round, you're thinking he better be a good starting quarterback. So, and I think he will go in the first round. The Giants seem to be the team. Chris Mara left the owners' meeting to go to his pro day. Like I say, the Cutcliffe factor. Cutcliffe worked with Eli, and Gettleman made the point about, hey, you got to be ready for New York and everything that goes along with being in New York as a starting quarterback with the Giants. Maybe he feels like Daniel Jones is better equipped to handle that type of an environment than maybe some of the other quarterbacks are.
We're with Mel Kiper, ESPN draft analyst. Mel, I got to ask you this as well. The Buffalo Bills, you said that T.J. Hockenson is in your mock draft. He's going to go to the Buffalo Bills, but you also like a wide receiver that has been linked to the Bills through one of the mock drafts that I saw, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. You like him a lot, and he's been, for better or for worse, or right or wrong, it's probably not right, but somebody thinks the Bills are going to draft this guy. Tell us a little bit about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's a big receiver. He's a kid who we were waiting to see. He didn't run until his pro day in early April, and he ran a 4.49. And I had one NFL GM say, hey, if he runs under 4.55, he's going early second. If he runs 4.6 or higher, he'll probably go third round. Well, he ran 4.49, 4.50. So if you're thinking, you know, he's going to go early second at 4.55, you got to still think he's an early two right now. So, yeah, he's a big – he loves the box out. He's got that power forward mentality. He's got the wingspan, the length to go get the football. He is a tough red zone receiver to deal with. And he ran, like I say, a lot better than people thought he would. So when you combine the production, this kid averaged, had a nice average per catch. He had touchdowns. He was a go-to guy for them, for David Shaw. I think that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's a solid second-round pick. Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if he went early, too. It wouldn't shock me if he went late first. But I'll project him right now in the early second round.
Mel, when the draft is settled, we get through training camp, and by the start of this season, which team do you think is going to have the most substantial change based on what they do this weekend in the draft? I mean, we see the Giants have tied for the most draft picks ever in one draft, or can we see Denver making some serious changes in the quarterback situation? What do you think?
Yeah, I think Arizona, if they take Kyler Murray, is going to be a lot of – and then we'll see a 5'10 quarterback, number one pick overall. You never thought you'd see that.
Wow.
You never even thought in the first or second round you'd see it. But keep in mind, 7 years ago, a quarterback was 5'10 and three quarters, went 75th pick overall, third round. That was Russell Wilson. I said then he was just – I didn't know what Russell Wilson would be in the NFL. I had no idea. I just said, okay, he's a third, fourth-round guy, went in the third round, and we'll see. He'll be a test case, as Seneca Wallace was to an extent and others, Doug Flutie and others. And in this case, he made, I think, Kyler Murray a lot of money. By the way, Kyler Murray should call Russell Wilson and thank him. But I think Arizona could make a nice move, just in terms of just the box office and what that'll mean. But in terms of what you're talking about, in terms of a team getting better, I'll just go right to the Buffalo Bills. Support Josh Allen proved he can be a big-time quarterback. He made plays last year, and I watched every snap he took. Mm-hmm. And I watched the throws that were great throws called back for penalties on successive plays and be putting them way behind the chains. I watched drop passes, putting them in bad down and distance situations. I saw him compete. I saw him do things that other quarterbacks, even as veterans, couldn't do. Athletically, competitiveness is phenomenal. The arm we know he has, if he can get some of the layups, he'll miss a couple of those throws that make you scratch your head a little bit. But if he can just even things out a bit, keep working, which he will, I think the Buffalo Bills, people are sleeping on the Bills for some reason. They're talking about the Jets, and they got the uniform change, and Sam Darnold, everybody praises. And this is why I defended Josh Allen last year. Everybody was knocking Josh, even before the tweet. Because they looked at that completion percentage. Anybody completes 56% in college, can't play in the NFL. Look at Kyle Bowler, and I brought up Matthew Stafford. He was right around at number two, and I said, "Why?" And he lost his center, his running back, his tight end, and his receiver at Wyoming. You can't reload at Wyoming. So for Josh, I think it was unfair criticism, and everybody wants to be proven right, so they're still kind of bashing. He's not that good. Is he really the guy? Yeah, he is, and I think Josh Allen's going to prove it. He will win games. He's not a stat guy. He's a winner, and he proved that. He won the two games he didn't play at Wyoming 2 years ago. They lost when he was in late in the year against bad teams. So it comes back for the bowl game, and they win in a rout. So I believe in Josh Allen, and I think the Bills fans do, and I know that team does internally and that organization does. Build around Josh, keep that defense going. I think the Bills could be the surprise team in the NFL this season.
Well, that's good to hear, and we had one more. I want a last question for you, and we always touch base with all the Buffalo prospects that are coming out. One of the prospects we wanted to ask you about was the Canisius High School graduate, former Pitt running back, Kadri Olesen.
Yep.
What are his chances? What do you think have him slotted? Where can we kind of expect to hear his name on draft day?
Yeah, I had him in on ESPN.com. I talked to him. I moved him into the top 10 running back spot at one point. Big back. I thought he had enough balance and tackle breaking ability and enough wiggle to complement that aspect of his game. He's the kind of running backs they always drop. Two rounds probably further down than they should. Everybody seems to have one or two. Some have three. So it's not a big need area once you get past the first five to seven running backs. He's not in that group. I think he's a late-rounder priority free agent who will make a team. And Hall, the teammate of his, will as well. But I think Olesen's more of a guy, late-rounder priority free agent who has shown at Pitt NFL ability.
He's Mel Kiper, Jr., ESPN NFL Draft Analyst. He's been covering the NFL Draft for ESPN since 1984, and he's still doing it with us here today. Mel, thanks for this. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. You have a great weekend.
You too. Enjoy the week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.